Get
creepy.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Kristen.
And we are the Extra Sisters. So sit back, relax, and let's get creepy.
Welcome to season two, episode two, or whatever.
whatever we name this.
I don't know. Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you for being here. We appreciate you being here. It touched my heart that some of you reached out to us on Instagram when we posted that we were coming back. So that was cool to hear from some of y'all. We appreciate it. Missed you. Love you. Hope everybody's doing well. How are you doing, Kristen?
Dude, I'm so tired right now. I just put my daughter to bed and I'm like zoning. But I'm doing...
Well, wake up, bitch.
I'm doing okay.
We got a movie to talk about.
In everyday life, I'm doing fine. Well, she's teething, so you know, not doing fine, but we're making it through.
Does teething ever stop? Are they teething until they're like 18?
I would love to know if it stops at this point because, yeah, I didn't realize. I thought when you had a kid, yeah, they teeth, you know, sometimes, and then they just pop a tooth and it's done. She has been teething, it feels like, nonstop for 2 years now, so I don't know. Never.
And it's not going to stop, right? It just keeps on going.
She gets her last tooth when she's three, so.
Oh, God.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Godspeed.
Thanks.
Yeah. So in this episode, if you haven't figured it out from the title, we are going to be talking about the 2022/2023 film Skinamarink. So this film was very low budget and very indie. It hit the film circuits. It was actually a YouTuber that made this movie and he made it for $15,000. And the reason I said 22/23 is because it started hitting the festival circuit in 22 and officially got its theatrical release in 23, but not... And like it was actually leaked online before he got to like enjoy his release, which is I would be pissed if it was me, especially with a debut.
Yeah, like, agreed. But it also probably it went viral, like it became
true
something because of it getting leaked. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag there. But
maybe
also
he leaked it himself.
Right, exactly. It was also made during COVID. There's a note in the beginning of the movie. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I've been excited to see some of these new COVID movies coming out. And I know Host is a big one. I thought it was pretty lame personally, but everyone talks about Host that came out during COVID or was filmed during COVID. And so was this, interestingly enough.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen Host. Have I seen Host? You would probably remember. I wouldn't.
I don't think so. We haven't done it together, and you said you haven't watched much horror, so probably not.
Oh, no, I haven't watched this. I just looked it up, and I
have
not. An online seance. That's interesting. I think we may have talked about this concept way back when, because it kind of gave it a COVID gave people new ideas of things they could do that would be spooky,
right,
you know?
Right.
Definitely. This movie is incredibly polarizing. I don't know if we've ever talked about a movie that is so loved or hated, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, you were asking me before we started recording, you know, like we didn't want to talk about it yet because we wanted to talk about it with you guys. But at the same time, like how do I feel about it? And to be completely honest, I'm not sure I know how I feel about this movie. That's how polarizing it is. There's part of me that I'm not saying I loved it because I didn't. Let's be honest. I am not the artsy one. Amanda's the artsy one. I didn't like it. I thought it was really boring and I fell asleep almost fell asleep. It was 10:30 at night. I had put my daughter to bed. I'm tired. Okay. But
yeah.
Then the more it was actually, I looked it up on Wikipedia to get some of the background information on it. And that made me like it and understand it more. I still don't like it. It's still not my type of movie, but I can understand.
Yeah, you need to watch this movie with the subtitles on, first of all. I think that that's really important because I would have missed a lot of the sounds they were making and what they actually were had it not been for the subtitles explaining like fabric rustling or whatever.
Yes, because it has subtitles for some things, but not all of them. So yeah, you definitely need something extra.
Yeah, it really helped me with like the random noises and... So it's really difficult to describe this movie so that I can talk about it. Like it's set in 1995 in this family's home. And the way that it is shot, it's very found footage-esque, but it's not found footage. It's kind of like a POV.
Yeah.
Sort of, some shots.
Yeah. The way when I was looking it up on Wikipedia, they were talking about that the director actually made this to feel like a nightmare. And there's lots of movies that, you know, they make it feel like you're in a nightmare. This is the most I have ever actually felt like I'm in a nightmare. You have those weird angles and you can't quite remember if you've seen anything, and things like, is there somebody in that doorway? Is there nothing in that doorway? Let's look up into that corner, because who knows? You know, it actually felt like I was dreaming.
I agree. I thought that, so it's very, very grainy. And mm-hmm. I don't know if this will be a surprise to anyone. I was living for this movie. Oh my God. I loved it. Okay. This is like, at first, because Brad was like, what's it on a scale of 10? And we rate on 5. So I was like, oh, I don't know, maybe an 8. The more I'm sitting with this, I'm going to kind of jump ahead, but the more I'm giving it a 5. And here's why. Let me tell you a little something. I have been telling y'all for years now, even during this 2-year long gap or whatever we had, that I have not felt anything during a horror movie in a long time. And mm-hmm. it's because I think there's just like a general lack of creativity. And I don't even necessarily, and I think we talked about this during The Exorcist Believer, it's not really anybody's fault, I guess. You know, you make what makes money, but also everything has been done. So nothing mm-hmm. is quite original. And I'm not saying this is 100% original, but what I am saying is my anxiety, my heart rate, and my blood pressure, the whole fucking movie were sky fucking high. And I can't tell you the last time that that has happened to me. And I think it is a lot to do with the way it was filmed, because mm-hmm. it's very grainy. You know, it's set in 1995, so it's like that old school camcorder that doesn't have that night vision. There's no flash. It's just like my eyes were always darting all over the screen, like, is that something, or have I just been looking at just black right, static exactly. for so long that I don't know if it's moving or is it not moving, like,
or is your brain creating something,
right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. The uncertainty and the imagination in this movie that like you had to participate mm-hmm. was just incredible to me, because at first I was really not into it. I was like, because like, yes, I do like the artsier movies, but even I have a limit, you know.
Right.
I
rewatched The Lighthouse recently.
Yeah, I rewatched The Lighthouse recently, and I was like, yeah, I mean, it's good, but like, I was kind of bored.
Uh-huh.
And there were some boring parts during this, but it was deeply unsettling to me, because it did, like you said, it felt like a nightmare. Like, you're in your house and suddenly all your family members disappear, and there's these eerie disembodied voices talking mm-hmm. to you. And did you see your mom? Is she talking to you? Is that a bone snap? Like,
furniture is so being eerie. Thrown on the ceiling, and then things are disappearing, doorways are disappearing. It definitely is creepy that way. I just feel like maybe an hour and 40 minutes was a little long.
That's fair. There were some times when I was like, we've lingered on this shot a little bit too long.
Yeah.
We should move on. You know, but I think that this is my hill to die on, is this movie. And I'm going to die with it, I think, because like I said, the longer that I was looking at this one dark room with this one little light in one little area, I couldn't tell if I saw a shadow figure or if I made it up or if it was just a weird staticky pattern. Like, it was just, like I said, it was very unsettling to me, and my anxiety was through the roof, because the horror industry has done this to us for decades. It's quiet. Mm-hmm. It's dark. Something's going to jump out at you. Mm-hmm. But this movie makes you wait and wait and wait. And you have to be incredibly patient. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that kind of instant gratification that I have been so sick of recently. And I'm not saying, again, I don't even know if I would recommend this. You know, like,
yeah, you'd have to hard really to know that. Someone to recommend this movie.
Yeah, right. Like, I couldn't even get my roommate Ryan to watch it with me, and he's the most pretentious motherfucker I
really?
Know when it comes
he
to
wouldn't?
Movies. Yeah, he's like, I'm nothing surprised. Happens during this movie. I've heard that nothing happens. And you could argue that point. It is valid. It is totally valid. Not much does happen, except for, like I said, these voices, and this poor little 4-year-old ends up being the last one of his family, and this little, it's like a poltergeist, I would say, is probably what it reminds me of the most.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells him to stab a knife into his eye, yeah. And he does, and you see this really interesting blood scene, but nothing is like in your face. It's very, what are you coming up with that's scaring you in this moment right now? It's very dependent on how you're responding to it, I think.
Absolutely. One, I completely agree with you. Like there's scenes that I think they play over and over and over too much, but I get why, because it is creepy. The more that you do that in a scene, the more you're like, what's going to change? When is it going to change? How bad is it going to change?
Right. And if you are a 4-year-old and the lights are no longer coming on, right, and it says it's been, what, 500 something days, you have no concept of time. Your family's gone. You're hearing things. You just are watching the same cartoon on a loop for who knows how long. It genuinely is scary. And I think this idea did come from a nightmare, if I'm not mistaken, or like digging into that, just like that primal childhood it was, fear.
So he was actually, I think you mentioned it already, he was a YouTube creator who made horror shorts, and people would send in their nightmare ideas, you know, kind of like you've heard Amanda's crazy nightmares. People would send those in, and that's what kind of gave him this idea, which is fascinating to me because, like I said before, lots of movies feel, you know, like a nightmare, quote unquote, but you still have that perfect camera angle right behind our protagonist. You still have things like that where it can feel like a nightmare, but also it's not. This feels like a nightmare. It feels like you don't really see that person's face. Do you really remember it in the morning? What exactly happened? Was I there for years? Who knows?
And it like gives you that, you know, if you've ever had a really bad nightmare, this actually happened to me today. Actually, I had a nightmare last night. It was a really weird one. I mean, they're all weird, but and I had to go to work today, and I was telling the doctor that I share an office with, I was like, you ever have a nightmare and you're just like in a hangover for like hours? That's how this feels. Like I was uncomfortable sitting with it when it was over. And the more that I sat with it, the more uncomfortable I felt. And I thought that was such a success on the filmmaker's part. I think that Kyle Edward Ball did an incredible job. But like you said, if you are the slasher kind of horror fan, this is not for you. You know, if you are just here for the blood, guts, gore, screaming, this is not that film. It's just, this is why I'm so excited about it, because I got to watch something different for the first time in a long time, and nothing really comes to mind for me to really even compare it to, which is exciting for me.
Yeah. The thing I was thinking of is it's very much like, to me, like Valerie and her Week of Wonders. Like, it is so weird, so out of the box that you really can't, it's hard to recommend it to people. It's hard to really explain it, but in a good way.
Yeah. Well, which is funny because I didn't like Valerie and her Week of Wonders and you didn't like this. Yeah. So, which weird is so subjective.
Exactly. And I think this is one of the first movies I ever really want to do this on. I don't even remember if we rated The Exorcist Believer, but if we're going back to rating.
I
don't
think
we
did. I think we forgot.
Right. If we're going back to rating, honestly, I didn't like this movie. I will never watch it again. But I think this is a 5. I think this is...
Hell yeah, brother!
I think this is a perfectly done movie. Maybe could have been a little bit shorter. Some of the shots were a little too long for me. And it was boring to me. But on behalf of horror as a whole, good job. Good job.
Keep going, Kyle. Yeah. You got this, buddy.
Amazing.
I want to see more. Give me more. I'm a fan. This is just like when I watched Hereditary for the first time and I was like, oh, I'm going to be an Ari Aster fan for life. I'm going to watch everything you do.
Exactly.
Forever. Like, I'm going to follow this guy now. I want to know what else you're doing. Please don't start working for Blumhouse. For the love of God. Like,
right. Exactly.
And I just, there were some shots in this movie, specifically, you know, the little phone dude from Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah.
There was a shot where, yes, you don't know what you're looking at. And it's the eyes of this little toy phone that he's actually utilized really well in this movie. At some point, the 4-year-old calls 911, but then this poltergeist has just been fucking with him, and it's just this little toy phone. But there's one scene where it's just dark, and then suddenly you see eyes, but you don't know what you're looking at. And it's the eyes of this toy car. And then later when it starts to ramp up towards the end, and I say ramp up mildly, this is not like a, you know, a Conjuring kind of ramp up or anything. But this face is just staring at you, telling this 4-year-old to go to sleep. For and it feels like it just lasts for, like, I can't tell you the last time I watched a movie like between my fingers, and I was doing that for this. And I think that's why I was so excited, because I was like, even though that big jump never came, that big, like, horrifically painted special effects never came, I didn't need it. I was already scared, you know?
Yeah, this is a different type of scare movie. I already said it. I don't like this movie. It's boring. That doesn't mean that I don't that I don't appreciate it, because it is creepy. It does sit with you. It's kind of like, for me, It Follows. I even told Amanda when she first had me watch it years ago that it's not that it creeped me out in the moment. It did. But it was the fact that I would think about it for days afterwards. You'd see random people on the street and go, oh my God, the movie. And that's kind of this one. Like, you sit there and you kind of just let it soak into your brain for days and go, wow, that really was good and creepy.
Exactly. Like, I could go to sleep tonight and have that nightmare and it'd be horrifying.
Exactly.
Or if you kind of, like I said, use your imagination and think about what it would be like to wake up and your entire family be gone, all the doors and windows of your house being gone, and all you have as company is this voice telling you to, you know, stab your eyes out, and that your sister talked, so it took her mouth. It's just like very subtle. And I definitely would recommend, if you can get over the fact that you're not watching, you know, like a franchise film, like the con, like, you just have to get into a different mindset. Like, people in my household that don't watch horror and were kind of coming in and out, every time they'd come in, it'd be the same, like, dark, staticky looking wall or TV or scene. And they're like, has anything else happened? And I'm like, well, yeah, but, like, not yet. But,
like, I can't really explain it.
It's definitely a waiting game. And I have ADHD, so sometimes that's hard for me. But I will say, I was scared and it did its job. So, as I mentioned, it's 5 stars from me. I know this is like a shorter review, but there's really not much to talk about, because not much does happen in this hour and a half.
There's not a lot of details. And even trying to, quote unquote, tear it apart, that's the most I can give you, is that it's a little long. The shots are a little long sometimes.
It's drawn out. You're really not watching much when you're watching it. It really does rely on
you. Barely see the kids, honestly, at all. Like, you see their legs sometimes. Yeah.
There's, like, maybe a total of 50 words in this whole movie.
Yeah.
It's very quiet.
Yes.
So, I don't know. It's on Hulu. If you watched it, or if you do watch it, I'm really, like, probably more interested to know what your thoughts are than any other movie we've ever talked about. And that says a lot, because we've talked about a lot of cool movies. Some of them I don't even remember, to be honest with you. But that's a testament to my memory, not to the movie. But if you have watched it, please let us know what your thoughts are. Like, email me. I need to know. I need to talk about this some more. Instagram, Facebook, all the things. You guys know the drill. Kristen, you got anything else?
I don't think I do. I'm interested to hear. Come on, send them in. I am interested also to hear what people have to say.
And like we said last time, if there's anything else that you have watched that you think we need to watch,
tell us. I don't know.
We don't have a schedule. We're just like, you want to watch this?
Exactly. Okay. Which is kind of fun.
Like, when we did this previously, you know, we planned out the entire year. So we knew what we were watching every week. Every day. And now we're just kind of like, that one looked kind of interesting. Or somebody talked about that. I really actually have heard that we need to watch The First Omen. I don't know if you've heard anything about it yet.
Only that it exists.
Well, I've heard that it's actually pretty good. And it was done by a woman, which I think I brought up last time. I can't remember.
Yes, I think you did. And, you know, if y'all have been here in the past, you know how much I love The Omen. So I'm down.
I was thinking about that. I think about you every time The Omen comes up. And this one, I could see it being very what's the word I'm looking for? Unnecessary, I guess. But if it's done well, I don't think there's anything wrong with adding to a universe. If it's done well, if it's done just for money, we've seen how we've seen Halloween, we've seen The Exorcist, you know, we've seen Jason in space or whatever. Like, but I don't know. I'm really interested to see what The First Omen is going to bring. So that might be one that, you know, even if we don't catch it in theaters, everything goes on streaming within a month. But it's showing really promising. So far, it's
good.
Got an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. So speaking of Rotten Tomatoes, Skidamarink, let's talk about reviews real quick before we wrap up here.
I'm ready.
This is how I knew I was in for it, okay? So if you just Google Skidamarink, you know how Google has their own like little film rating?
Yeah.
2.1 stars out of 5. God, really low. Damn. Mostly one-star reviews. It's really interesting because there's mostly one stars and then like following that are 5 stars. So you can definitely see how polarizing that is. Now, if we go to Rotten Tomatoes, it's the same split, but it's critic versus kind of your average watcher, your audience score. So for the audience, it got a 44%. Mm-hmm. Not great, not horrible. The critics gave it a 72%. So, and I'm not saying the critics are right or wrong. I'm not saying just because the critics said it was amazing that it is, because we've all know that critics get paid for reviews, right? We should know that by now. But it's really interesting how polarizing this movie was. Like, on IMDb, it's got a 4.8 out of 10. So it's just, it's all about you, baby. What you like and what you don't like, let us know. I really want to know. But I have no idea what we're going to do next. So stay tuned, I guess.
Until next time, stay creepy.